the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Thanks to our good friends at Kerr's Hire. Time for the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style, and Tom King with you. And as always, a very good afternoon. Hello, Renee Gehring, via Zoom once more.
Hello, Kingy. Nice to see you. I need to apologise first and foremost for not recognising your birthday last week on air. So happy birthday once again. And to all listeners out there, they can send you a message if they haven't already.
Thank you. Yes, no, another lap around the sun. Wasn't a significant birthday, but another one. It's better to have another one than not have another one.
Exactly, and not in lockdown. I feel like I've had my last couple in lockdown, so it's always a bonus when you're out and about. So. Yeah,
my family went away on me.
That's a bit of rest in itself, I think, sometimes. But you had people to celebrate with, did you?
I've celebrated on the Sunday. Birthday was on the Monday, celebrated on the Sunday. So anyway, all good. Would have been nice to have seen 4 points in the bank from the girls, but can I just give you some numbers? So the losses this year have been by a combined, quick sums in my head, you're the teacher, but I'll do this quickly. I think 33 points, 14, 11 and 8. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. Might have even been... on the weekend. So,
right.
Yeah, all close, aren't they? And, again, lots of positives to take out of the game. And continually we're seeing the improvement that we've been after, but just couldn't get there once again, unfortunately. So it's coming. That's all we know it's coming, and the girls are doing plenty of the right things. It's just sustaining it and getting those goals on the board.
So last year the Kangaroos beat Geelong by 60-odd points, round one last year. Round two, Collingwood won by about 30 points, and in about round six, it was Carlton by about 30 points. So the combined margin against those three clubs last year was 120-odd. So I know it's not 4 points, but if you really want to drill down, it's incredibly impressive what's been achieved over the first 3 weeks, just in terms of those margins being eaten into that, you know, were fairly significant last year.
Oh, definitely. And I think it's also the style of footy that we've been working on all pre-season, and we're starting to see that play out on field. So that's what you're after. And we certainly haven't had an easy start to the season. We know that every game's going to be tough. And in a 10-round season, every game you go in thinking it's going to be against a good oppo, and we've certainly had tough matches so far.
Yep. One player I want to mention, and we did speak to her before we hit a record officially on this, was Sophie Vanderhoevel, and of course missed the game against Carlton the week before as part of the health and safety protocols. But one thinks that if she had played against Carlton, it might have had a significant influence on the result, the way she dared to take the game on at times. And it didn't always come off, but I reckon it came off more often than not. And when it did, it looked good, and it got the ball inside 50 and gave opportunities.
Definitely. Sophie is a speedster. She's got some serious pace on her, and I think over the last few seasons and even probably through the VFL, we've seen her take the game on and sometimes get caught. But this week she took it on, and she used her run and certainly opened up the outside for us and delivered a beautiful kick inside 50 to Geordie Ivy and a couple others, handball releases to our mid, some of the inside mids as well. So she played her role very well on the weekend, and pleased to see that for her.
Yep. Does this game style that's being played under Daniel Lowther suit Sophie Vanderhoevel more than, you know, the previous possession style that was played?
Oh, look, I think getting it to the outside is going to open up that game for the wingers if you're utilising that, definitely. Zali was the same, Zali Friswell on the other side of the ground. She got some ball into open space, and the same thing, she can run. So if you're moving the ball in that manner, you're going to open up the ground and bring those girls into it.
Has Kate Darby come up and tapped you on the shoulder in the last couple of weeks and said, thanks for falling pregnant, because I'm really enjoying this? And she's arguably playing the best footy she's played at AFLW level over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, look, she hasn't thanked me, and nor does she need to. I think she has well and truly deserved her spot. Yes, I think she was training pre-season really solidly and earned that position. And lucky for her that I got pregnant. You don't wish for anyone to, I suppose, have those injuries if you're sitting on the train-on list. And she wasn't hoping for that, because she's a really selfless person. But when a bit of a positive, a pregnancy and a spot for her, and she's grabbed it and taken it. I've been impressed with her first few games and holding her spot and I suppose, yeah, in that forward line on the weekend, she could have had a fair few goals there and got herself into some really good spots. And I've obviously got the one goal, but, yeah, potential we'll see her kicking three, four in the future games, hopefully.
Yeah, it was just one that didn't stick for her in the goal square that just probably sticks out. And it didn't impact the end result, but it's one of those ones that, gee, if you had that moment back again, she marks it, she goes back and kicks the goal and, you know, obviously, you know, gives you a bit of momentum.
Oh, for sure. And I think, yeah, look, if I had, she had to turn a certain way, like, yeah, you can reflect on it and look at those moments and there's plenty of them in the game that you can be like, oh, in that moment we could have scored or in that moment. But I think she, yeah, she's playing a role. She's in the spots that we needed to be in and creates a contest or, yeah, as we said, seeing her taking some great muck grabs as well.
Yep. And Julia Crockett-Grills has probably reflected on the 50-metre penalty for the last 3 days. I suspect that she just, unfortunately, one, wrong moment in the game because I think you got back within a kick, and two, wrong player. You sent Chloe Malloy within 25 metres of goal and she's one that you almost, you know, put down as money.
Yeah, look, I haven't asked Croc about that moment in the game. I don't think she'd really be keen to talk about it. But I think that 50s are not something you want to be giving away in our game or in AFL in general. And particularly, yeah, as you say, to a good forward who's going to make the most of it and when the margin's so tight, it does have a difference.
Yep. Georgia Prasparkas found out for the first time what it's like to be the hunted. She was tagged and had to fight through that. She was probably quiet in the first half, but her second half was serviceable, but she's just going to continue to go. And I think we got caught up yet. Yes, we know she's a great player and she's going to be a great player. Well, she's a very good player. She's going to be a great player, but it's going to take time. And she's still only a teenager and, you know, being asked to do a lot of grunt work in a midfield.
Exactly right. Look, I think still when she got it, she can break through a pack beautifully and get that ball moving forward. So, yeah, still really loving her progression and what she's bringing to the side. But, yeah, there's certainly no pressure from the side that she has to be doing all of the grunt work. That's what I suppose in terms of us being connected as a team and what we value, it's everyone playing their role and it's not looking for anyone to be the star.
Yep. They're a good side, Collingwood. They're going to be thereabouts. They probably play finals. North Melbourne, who played round one, will be thereabouts, top six, and Carlton will probably be knocking on the door. So some people have suggested, and I know the club will never say this, but gee, you're thrown for a team that had obviously battled through 2021, you're thrown a very tough draw. But I suppose, and also Dan Lau's probably going, well, the challenge is there, and why not challenge it? Rather than get a false sense of how we're travelling by maybe playing some other teams and winning those games, maybe this is a better indication of how you're tracking anyway.
Oh, definitely. Like, yeah, we know we've come up against solid opponents so far, but we also, I don't think we've walked away thinking, oh, they were just a better side on the day, because I think we've walked away from each game saying, look at our improvement, look what we've brought out there. It was within reach is more the motto that we're feeling at the moment, because they have been really all three games could have gone either way with a few things that we had to refine. So I must say also, Kingy, it was we had the Pride game on the weekend, yeah. Obviously Pride round, and the atmosphere again was really great on the weekend. And obviously the girls wearing the Pride jumper, but that was something special, I think, in the lead up to the game, and really meaningful and special for a number of the girls on our team, but for all of us to wear that out there and to represent what, inclusiveness and what we want in our community for everyone to feel valued. So a great day out with lots of rainbows and plenty of colour around the stadium.
Yep. You've obviously been around female sport for a heck of a long time. Talk to us about how, I suppose, being in the football environment might be a little bit different to the netball environment in terms of same-sex couples and the like. Is it something that's opened your eyes a little bit more coming from netball to football?
I think so. I think it's more openly spoken about within football than it was in netball. And I suppose, again, you've got a larger group of women in the team. So, again, netball, you've got 10 players versus in a footy squad. Well, we've got 30 in AFLW. When we're in VFL, we had 40 to 50 players within the group that were training and meeting lots of new women. And I think particularly in those early days of women's footy, it was a sport and is a sport that people feel welcomed. And particularly in that women's football community, from what I've come into, people do feel valued. Everyone has a role to play. Football's a game that's got so many, you don't have to be a certain build or whatever it might be at the community level, that you can find a role. And I think that from the grassroots, people that have been around women's footy from those early days have really showed and I suppose taught us about that, how it has been something that they've really valued and made sure that people, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from or what they believe in or how they identify or and those sorts of things, then they're welcome. And I think that's carried through the AFLW. We see people openly speaking about their sexuality, and that's, we know that's not commonplace in all sports. So I think we're in a really lucky position that we can make a stand and make sure that that's flowing on into other sports and environments where people might not feel as comfortable as yet.
Yep. Do you have greater empathy for those in the LGBTQI plus community who have obviously, for some, it's been a very tough journey that, you know, acceptance is, we seem to be still, I think, a little bit short on that, and we've still got a little bit of work to do. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. Obviously, I haven't got personal experience to talk from, but I, from the friends that I've made that have talked through those experiences, I certainly can hear that from many of the girls that I chat with and people they know and all sorts of things as well. But I think coming from a school environment as well as a football, we as teachers, we try and create an environment where students, no matter what, feel loved and valued and cared about, and you can be who you are. And I think that in women's footy, we're creating that same environment. And I suppose the more we can talk about that, encourage that to then happen in other avenues, because we want all kids and all adults, people growing up, being able to feel welcomed and valued no matter where they are, workplace, sporting environment, music club, like whatever, wherever you are, that should be how it is. But as you say, I'm sure there's work to do. And even in football, sometimes we hear language that we shouldn't hear still. So there's still things to improve on.
Yeah, absolutely. The jumper was fantastic. It was worn last year as well, with obviously the rainbow flag on as one of the hoops, and then the trans flags on the shoulders. It would be fantastic. There's something to be said that, you know, those jumpers shouldn't be just one-off appearances. You know, they should be that and the Indigenous jumper. That, you know, why don't we see them more often when there's not a clash?
I think we got to wear our Indigenous jumper a couple of occasions when there was jumper clashes and so forth. So I think it'll become more commonplace that, yeah, you do have potentially, obviously resourcing and things like that is potentially something that comes in for certain clubs, yeah. And we've seen that potentially happening. But I think more and more we're going to see new designs and more people getting involved with both the Indigenous jumpers and the Pride jumpers in the future, which is really great. It just brings more people into the club. I think we had a session with our community team and talking through that we had, yeah, groups of from our community that have never been to a football game there on the weekend because it was the Pride round. And I love that, like bringing more people into footy that haven't been there before. I think that's what it's all about.
Yep. Does the number 12 get – obviously there was an Indigenous jumper last year, but I think there's tweaks in terms of logos and stuff like that. But did the number 12 still get made for this year in the variations of the jumper?
I think so. In pre-season, I still had my footy jumper for the team photo. I had one, and it was certainly a bit tighter than it was last year. So I'm assuming it was made. They have to make the jumpers pretty early, and it was not public when we started pre-season, so I can imagine there's a jumper in the cupboard somewhere for me, and hopefully it just stays there until I need it again one day.
What do you do with your jumpers? Have you kept all your ones that you've worn over the first three seasons of AFLW, and have you kept your VFLW ones?
Yeah, so we don't get the VFLW jumpers. They get used for trainings and things like that. Yep. We get given a jumper from each season. So certainly kept the ones that I've had, not our Pride jumpers and Indigenous, unfortunately, but they do use them on multiple occasions. Yep. And they also do obviously some fundraising and things like that with some of the footy jumpers as well.
Okay, fantastic. They are a great jumper. You're now 23 weeks pregnant, am I correct?
24.
Yeah. How many K's have we ticked over in the last 7 days, Renee?
Oh, well, whatever. I haven't. I could have to work it out. I'm still on the 5Ks a session, so about the 20 per week. So,
do you have Strava monitoring you?
I use my watch actually, but actually no. I should say I did. Last night I was feeling a bit hot and bothered. I went to work yesterday and did a bike session out of the heat. So yep. I am. It's the first time I've used that. I was feeling a bit hot, but I certainly was. So that sun wasn't going to be any good for me last night. Met the girls on the track after.
Back to school sort of late this week officially, is that right?
Yeah, officially for teachers and then kids welcome back on Monday at our school. Every school can be a little bit slightly different, but got the classroom set up today, so ready to go. Looking forward to, seeing the kids back.
All right. Brisbane. This Saturday night, it's an interesting one for the Lions because as we speak, people will listen to this probably after they've played, but they play Carlton tonight as sort of a make-up game. Obviously, we've lost a few through the journey. So the Lions off four-day break is an opportunity. I spoke to Jordan Ivey post the game Friday night for krockfootball.com.au and she saw it that way. She goes, well, a team coming off a four-day break, it's not going to be easy. You know, they're playing on the Gold Coast tonight. Suspect it'll be warm. Suspect Maroochydore will be warm on Saturday. Cats with an eight-day break. It might just provide an opportunity to have a real crack at the reigning premier.
Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to watching them play tonight, and obviously I've only seen them once this season, I think, so far with their protocols last week for their side. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think, again, we can't look at any game and think, oh, they're coming off a four-day break because we know that sides come in firing no matter what. So we'll be focused on how we need to play the game and reflecting on how we've missed out in these last few to get the win on the board. So, yes, certainly I think they'll be focusing on their recovery and hydration and all the rest to get ready up and to go. But for our girls, yeah, we'll be focusing on our game and being as ready as we can and obviously the travel preparing for that as well.
This weather and humidity in Geelong this week won't be the worst thing preparing for a game in Maroochydore.
Oh, definitely not. Early pre-season we didn't have hardly any hot sessions. And so when we had those first couple of games or practice match and then a couple of games in the heat, we really weren't ready for it. So I think these last few sessions and these last couple of weeks where there has been some hot sessions and we're, getting used to the heat and how to hydrate appropriately and things like that has been a positive. So we've got this game in Queensland and then another one planned against Gold Coast as well. So, it's been great to have a bit of practice in those conditions.
Yep. The Lions got plenty of threats. Offensively, they're usually pretty good. They've got some players down four that have got to be curtailed. I'm guessing a little bit of planning will go into how the back line controls their offense.
Definitely. And I think there's certain matchups and things that the club will look at and the coaches will look at. But overall, the girls know they work really well together as a unit. So they'll be focusing on shutting down particularly those key players. But we know any forward can be dangerous when they get the ball in the hands in the right spot. So work as a unit, and obviously the midfield coming down to support and even the forwards pushing up where needed as well.
Yep. I didn't mention Liv Fuller's game, and obviously first couple of rounds she got a couple of tough opponents, King from North Melbourne, Moody from Carlton. But last week was able to actually get her hands on the footy, not only in the ruck contest but also around the ground as well. And I suspect she probably feels a little bit more comfortable now at AFLW level after a bit of a baptism of fire.
Yeah, I think she's really embraced the AFLW. I think she's just taken it in a stride and, playing her role. And between it was her and Reen in there on the weekend sharing the role of ruck, but Liv playing a predominant amount of time in there and winning the hit-outs from what I understand. So I think, getting your ball in your hands, we know for any player on the ground, certainly helps you to feel like you're more involved and like you're doing your role. And so I think, receiving those handballs and being part of passages of play as well as the hard work she's doing in the hitouts is certainly going to help her to continue to develop that confidence up the ground.
Do you get to go to Brisbane or are you staying home?
No, I will be going. So I'm excited for the little trip. It'll be different, not having to prepare for a game, and I can actually go and stand in the sun if I want to and go for a coffee and not have to stress about those sorts of things. So, I'm looking forward to travelling with the group. Travel is something special. I think in all sports we love when we get to travel together, and it's obviously exciting to go away and hopefully get the win. It's always a nice trip back if you've had the win. It's not so nice if you if you don't and you're stuck together for a bit longer and everyone's trying to process and all the rest. But
because pre-footy for you, it would have either been for go down to play Colac or up to Parkville to play State League netball, wouldn't that be about it?
Yeah, all day tournaments and stuff like that are still still travel trips for me when I was younger.
Country champs and stuff like that, regionals.
Yeah, a bit of mixed netball played over in Adelaide and Queensland and things, which was a bit of fun.
But did you ever do uni games?
Not uni games. No, I didn't have time for that, King. I just didn't fit in with the netball at the time.
Yep, always playing finals and.
Exactly.
Yes. No. Yeah. Fair enough.
A bit too not competitive for my liking was the word I got. people drinking before playing and things like that. Just not up my alley.
I was going to say that's
your teammates for doing that.
that's not your style.
Not at all. No.
changes potentially this week. Obviously, Mads Maguire, poor bugger, when she missed through COVID protocols. It was 7 days. It was Saturday morning, which meant it ruled her out of two. So she becomes available, I understand.
Mads back at training and loving being back around the group. So, yeah, so she'll be putting herself forward. It'll be really great, competitive to see. Girls will have to be, we've got main session tomorrow night. So the girls will be putting themselves out there and potential for there to be some VFL practice matches coming up as well. So thankfully we'll start having options for the girls that aren't selected to be showing in a footy game, not just at trainings, which is the really hard thing with the AFLW and season of the VFL starting a bit later. So I think that'll be a really positive thing. But, yeah, selection will be interesting. And, don't envy the coaches this time of the week.
Chloe Shears, the other one too, that missed last week, was managed. Dan Lowther said post-game that she was a bit banged up. The body had copped a bit of a hiding through the first couple of games. So, and obviously, as we know, she had that head knock that she received against the Kangaroos as well. So maybe a week off, she'll be better for that.
Yeah, so she was back training last night and feeling heaps better. So, she'll be knocking on the door as well as Belle, obviously back from the protocols too.
Oh, of course, so, Annabelle Johnson, yes. Yeah. Can I ask you how Steph Williams is tracking?
Yeah, no, Steph's doing well. She's been training a little bit both ends, so doing a bit more in, obviously last year she was playing forward and training down there. She's been doing a little bit of that, but a little bit down the back line as well. So if you've ever seen her, when you see her play and when she trains, she's got an elevation off the ground, and we know she's a speedster as well. But, they're just seeing how that works in the back line as well as up the forward. And, she's training well. It's just it is competitive, and unfortunately she's been one that's been missing out, but certainly doing all the right things in her development and listening to the coaches. And, that's great to see.
We'd love to see some of that dash and dare off halfback that she showed us last year, a couple of times where she even took them on by handballing them to herself. And it was exciting to watch.
Yeah, and we see that at training. She's she comes through and can go for a spoil and follow up. And, she's got that speed, and it's just that continual development of her understanding of the game and what to do when you get it and getting that composure. So, certainly think she's one with a great attitude, and she'll keep continuing to develop and be ready when the coaches feel so.
Yep. Just want to ask you, obviously you've spent some time around now the coaching group and keeping your hand in the group by having a role on match day and during the week at training. Has that started to whet your appetite for something coaching-wise post-playing career?
Oh, look, I'm continually learning more about the game. I think a few years ago when I had the injury and got some time in the coach's box, that helped me see the game in a different way. And I think that this has been another build on that. It is very different watching the game from the sidelines than it is on ground. So, I'm learning a lot from hearing the coaches talking and what they're seeing in players and talking about the way that a certain player is playing a certain role. So it's certainly something that I wouldn't say no to, but I think, I'm not ready to say just go in the coaching way and give up the playing side of things. I've got a bit of work to do to keep doing that first. And but maybe one day. I think naturally as teachers we like to, to coach and to help out others where we can. So I'll just keep doing that for now.
Yep. The VHSF VFLW is not too far away. Their season, I think, starts mid-February-ish, and obviously Andrew Bruce and Alf Delamonica and the team will obviously look after the girls there. But will you sort of be involved as well on where the match days don't clash with AFLW? Will you show your face at their games? And my understanding is they're going to have a very they've got a very nice draw in terms of games at Deakin, hearing whispers about the draft.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard about their fixture as yet, but yeah, you know, last year we tried to get around the games whenever possible, and obviously I ended up playing, I think, about 7 or 8 games with them in the back end of the season. And obviously last year we had a number of our AFLW girls playing from the start of their season, and it'll, I'm unsure at this point, but I assume it'll look very similar in girls that haven't played the front end of the season might start playing VFLW very likely, and then whether that continues through straight away and get the right balance to get enough games under everyone's belts, particularly those that, yeah, have missed out on a few games during the AFLW season.
I think we should use this forum too to just touch on the Falcons girls as well and probably encompass a lot of things women's football, but the Falcons girls, they had a tough one. First up, I think they had 13 debutants against Dandenong, who were a pretty stacked team, a lot of girls returning. So a loss last weekend, but there's a couple of girls that we'll be keeping an eye on because they're potential father-daughter selections. Charlotte Simpson had 18 possessions last week, and Mackenzie McGrath was really good down back. I think she had 16 disposals, but intercept marked it really well. So there's probably a couple of girls that might show themselves, might end up finding themselves in the VFLW program once the NAB League girls' season's finished.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually coached against those girls in the school league, so I know, and Charlotte's actually done a few sessions with us through the VFL and Macra actually as well in the last couple of years. They've come on and had a few training sessions, but last year it certainly did work that once the Falcons did finish, a number of those VFLW girls came through and trained, and a couple of them got games in VFL and a number of them got Annie Lee, Poppy Sharp, obviously got contracts in the end, which was great with other clubs, and obviously a couple of girls ourselves. So
yep.
It's certainly a great pathway to get them into the AFLW.
Now, Lizzie Dowling's been training with you guys, hasn't she?
Yeah, yep. So she's been one of our train-ons early on. And now it's the right, I suppose, players have to find the balance of when the Falcons seasons start. So I haven't seen her the last little bit.
Yep.
Potentially has to balance those commitments of, life outside of football, but also when they're back fully training and playing for Falcons, that can reduce unless they're needed.
Yep. Yeah. She kicked 2 goals last week, Lizzie Dowling. They're trying her down forward, the Falcons, with the aim of hopefully, you know, showing, she was probably one we were surprised it didn't get drafted. This is maybe showing AFLW clubs and recruiters that, well, she's got plenty of strings to her bow, and hopefully come July, which I'm guessing when that'll be draft period for AFLW 2023, she might hear her name called, and, you know, she does, you know, have those extra tricks up her sleeve.
Yeah, we hope so. Well, look, I think there's lots of talent in Geelong region, and lucky we get the pleasure of working alongside some of the girls when they come and train with us. And we'd love when we draft them, but if they get drafted by any club, that's what we want to see.
I suppose the other thing we've got to keep in mind with Simpson and McGrath is they're actually not definitely Geelong draftees, because you only got to play one game at an AFL club in the men for your daughter to go to that club, and Charlotte can go to St Kilda. Sean played 7 games there, and Mac McGrath can go to North Melbourne because Tim played 7 games with the Kangaroos.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that. So
that's no doubt then obviously makes it a bit interesting when we get to that point of the year. Falcons girls, they're off to Epsom Huntley Reserve, which for those who don't know is just north of Bendigo. They play the Murray Bush Rangers, and you'll find that there won't be a lot of games at Deakin because they try and hub the games for recruiters to be able to go and watch multiple teams on the one day. I think there's some games at Highgate, at Craigieburn and that coming up, but we'll have coverage at carrockfootball.com.au, and we'll keep you across the Geelong Falcons girls as well, because as we know, a lot of those girls have found their way into the hoops and will continue to do so. I think speaking with Dan and Ben Waller, they're still very keen on investing in, and Steve Hocking too, that this region's very important at a pathway level for the Cats at both men's and women's AFL.
For sure. I think we've seen the talent that's come through, and it'll continue to do so. And the Falcons do a great job at providing those opportunities for the girls.
Looking forward to being called Mrs. Gehring again after a 6-week break.
I've tried to get myself a nickname at school, and it's really not stuck. So I'm still working on getting like a Mrs. G or or something. Like, yeah, I don't know.
It's you just, can't, because remember, yeah. Wasn't it Mr. G that was in Summer Heights?
Oh, was it? Okay, maybe don't want that. Yeah, I think I need something. I'm like, Mrs. Gehring, it sounds a bit like my mother-in-law. So, but no, yeah, and happy to be Mrs. Gehring, it's fine.
Because you're not teaching high enough where that sort of familiarity is probably.
No, yeah. But a lot of the, no, yeah, I don't know if it's a female-male thing. A lot of the male PE teachers get a Sharpie or a this yeah. or a, yeah, so I just haven't got it to stick just yet.
What's your nickname at the club?
Nay.
Nay.
Just get Nay. Yeah.
Because Gehring.
My husband gets Gez, but I feel like that doesn't really suit me. Yeah. I don't think I'm a Gez.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that you can't add a Y to. It's not like you can, like King, where you can just throw, wow, we got Kingy. Bang, no. There we go.
I still get Smithy from, like, people that knew me when I was younger.
Yep.
So maybe I can just roll that out again, except people like, why are they calling you Smithy?
Smithy, for those who haven't been around for a while, yes.
Yeah.
Who's got, actually, on nicknames, what are some of the better ones among the girls?
Or a few of them are their surnames. Yeah. Prez, what does Prez get? Prestigious, and all the calls. Prestigious, yep. Which is always gets a lot. We've got like G, because we have that many Georgies in Georgia, and so there's G, and then there's GC. Then we've got
all the Maddies,
and Barbs and Darbs. Yeah, all the Maddies.
Yep.
So got to use their last names a little bit. A few girls get there. Carrot gets Carrot, Croc.
Yeah.
So lots of surnames. There's nothing too really out there, actually. It might come, I suppose, as the seasons go on and girls say something that sticks. But, yeah, it's typically just pretty simple at this point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because sometimes you end up with a player, it's men's level, they've got a nickname that's a bit removed from, but it's got a meaning. It's funny, or sometimes it's a little bit light blue. But.
No, we haven't quite got that, have we, as yet.
Or somebody does something silly, i.e. Tom Lonigan being Domsey.
Yes, delayed onset muscle soreness. No, it hasn't happened just yet. Well, there might be some that I don't know about, but, there's lots of the youngsters that use lots of different things, acronyms and things that I have no idea what they're saying a lot of the time. So we're starting to get in with the know that I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to know this because my students will be
correct. Yes, whatever your teenage teammates are talking about and maybe talking about it's, we're trying to get, this is going to go over a teacher's head.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Or they say something's like cool but in a different word. I'm like, I've never heard that before in my life. So, I'm getting educated at footy. So.
Yeah, you're still young at 30. What are you, 33?
33, and we've got 18-year-olds, so there's a bit of a gap.
Then you got Phoebe, who's very old.
Exactly. No, she's not. She's not too much older than me, so I can't use that.
And she's listening right now, so. Well, not right now as we record this, but she'll listen to this and she'll be going, oh, gee, thanks, King. You're trying to retire me again.
No, she doesn't need to be the way she's playing footy. She's doing very well, so.
All good. All right, we'll leave it at that. That's been our fun for this week. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it as much as we have bringing it to you. Thanks to Kerr's High. Nay.
Yes. I feel like people know me when they call me Nay, so there you go.
I think we have called you that during the K-Rock broadcast and stuff.
I think you might have,
God, you and I have been dealing with each other for 15
years. Less formal,
yeah. Yeah, got to have a bit of fun. Hey, enjoy the trip to Brisbane. So
Thank you, I will.
Trip, flight to Brisbane, bus to Maroochydore, or flight direct to Maroochydore?
Oh, that's a really good question. We haven't had our itinerary yet, so I'm sure I'll find out training tomorrow night. I'll just get on where I'm told and go with the flow. So.
Who's the trip leader? Is Benny Waller sort of your...
Benny Waller will be organising it all. He's the go-to for the details. So, he'll have it all organised, I'm sure.
I wonder if I can sneak my way onto the Gold Coast trip.
Oh, wow. Just ask the question. I'm not sure.
A weekend with the Cats.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll make a great story, King.
Yeah. I'm sure, and that's a Sunday game, so we fly Friday.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I think we're aiming to fly in, fly out from what I understand.
Yeah.
We're able, but, we'll wait and see.
No. All right, mate. Good to talk, and thanks again. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we look forward to having a chat next week, and hopefully we're talking about a win.
I definitely hope so, and I look forward to it.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.